with the message this morning. What if, mothers, all of you were like Hannah? We'll be talking about that. Maybe that'll make a little bit more sense to you by the time we get through the message. But what if? Wow. Well, if you'll go ahead and open your hymnals to hymn number 283 and mark the page and have it ready, Take My Life and Let It Be. What if you were to take that and mean it, take my life, Lord? Now open your Bibles or follow along on the screen to 1 Samuel chapter 2. We'll be reading verses 18 through 21. If you'd stand in honor of and respect for the ever-living, eternally holy, inerrant, infallible, miraculously inspired, written Word of God, and for the God of the written Word. 1 Samuel chapter 2, starting at verse 18, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod. And his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. When Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord." And they went to their own home. The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters. And the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Father, as we have opened your word and read it, we ask, Lord, that you bless the reading of your word. Lord, I just ask that you open our eyes this morning that we may understand the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, I think it's appropriate to mention, I try to mention it every year, that the observance of Mother's Day dates all the way back to May 1907, when a lady by the name of Miss Anna M. Jarvis of Philadelphia thought that at least once a year, all the sons and daughters, all the children, ought to pay tribute to their mother. A special service was organized by her and held in a church. The idea appealed to others, and by 1911, every single state in our country was observing Mother's Day. Finally, in 1914, the second Sunday in May was assigned by President Woodrow Wilson to be observed as Mother's Day. Now, not only should mothers be remembered at least once a year, but they should be respected every single day of the year and rewarded for all that they mean to us. All that you mean to us. A man by the name of Peter Marshall, some of you might remember a book or a movie that came out. Billy Graham put it out. It's called A Man Called Peter. This is the man right here, Peter Marshall, that it was about. He was a Presbyterian pastor, and he was twice elected as the chaplain for the Senate. A tremendous man of God. He wrote this in one of his sermons about mothers. He said, "Nothing has ever been said, nothing that could be said or that ever will be said would be eloquent enough, expressive enough, or adequate to make articulate the particular emotion we feel to our mothers." And how true that is. It goes without saying that mothers have always had a mission to accomplish and a work to do. Such was true in the life of Israel as a nation. There was now, at the time of the writing of our text this morning, that we read this morning, there was an urgent need for a strong man to lead the nation of Israel back to God. The priesthood office at that time had fallen into disrepute, and the prophetic office had become totally corrupt. So God decided to use a godly woman by the name of Hannah to bring order back to the nation of Israel. Now, because Hannah was faithful to follow the Lord, she was blessed by God with a child whose name was Samuel. And each year, she would make a robe for Samuel and take it to him. And when she went to the temple to worship, she would give that robe to her son Samuel. Now, if you don't know all the particulars behind that, go to 1 Samuel and read that, okay? I'm not going to get into all of the detail behind that. I'm just going to take parts of it this morning. The robe became a little bigger and longer each year she would make and take it. Obviously, Samuel, as a young man, was beginning to grow. Samuel became known by the robe that his mother had made for him. Now, moms, I realize that you're always making things for us. You're always doing things for your children in one way or another. The mission of every mother is to clothe her children in whatever way that she can, in every effort that she can. Also, it should be to clothe your children in spiritual garments of faith and righteousness as well. I want us to trace this truth that I just mentioned in the life of Hannah. So, one thing that Hannah had was a practical prayer life. Our first point this morning. We read in verse 10 of chapter 1 these words, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept bitterly." And we read then in verse 12 of the same chapter that it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. Now, there is no question about it, at least in my mind, that Hannah was indeed a praying mother. And this is the kind of mother, folks, that we need today in our homes in America. Now, I grant you, there are many different kinds of mothers. There are smart mothers, and there's maybe not so smart mothers. There's beautiful mothers. There's popular, religious, not so religious mothers. There's sophisticated mothers as well. But if I am reading this scripture correctly, God is looking for mothers of prayer. Mothers who can intercede on behalf of their children. For example, let's look at Hannah and her life. First, she knew the place of prayer. And verse 9 tells us that it was a post by the temple of the Lord. That was her place of prayer. This indicates that her choice was the temple or the church, and that she was a strong believer in going to church. She was faithful to be there. It also indicates that she believed that she could direct her prayers directly and straight to God. True now, the church is a great place to pray. And I hope that when you're here, that your heart really, truly opens up and prays genuinely to God. But folks, we need to understand, you can pray to our Lord any time of the day or night and in any place. You don't have to wait till you come inside these walls here, what we call the church, to pray. Because technically, You, as an individual with Christ in your heart, you are the church. So wherever you are, the church is, and you can pray there. Now, it's important, though, that you find a place to pray. That's why I talk about quiet time and stressing the need for reading your Bible and studying it. It's important to find that place where you can talk to the Lord without being distracted by the circumstances around you. Secondly, Hannah knew the practice of prayer. Verse 10 tells us, and prayed unto the Lord. You see, Hannah did not wait until Samuel was born in order for her to start praying and asking God. She was a mother of prayer even before Samuel was born. Third, she knew the passion of prayer. Verse 10 also tells us, and she was in bitterness of soul and wept sore. Again, when you look in verse 15, it says that I have poured out my soul before the Lord. You see, her praying was so heartfelt that she could not convey her inner petitions, her feelings in words alone. We read in verse 13, she spoke in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Although the scripture does not directly mention it, personally, I believe that Samuel's mother's prayer life did not go unnoticed by Samuel. Nor do I believe that her prayer life failed to make an impression upon Samuel. There's no doubt in my mind that her prayers were perpetuated and transmitted to Samuel himself. You see, when you read that he stood above the men in Israel in prayer, he prayed. His prayer was above anybody else. Obviously, that's saying and indicating there wasn't much prayer from the people of Israel going on at that time. The lesson that Samuel learned from his mother can best be seen in these words which he declared to his people in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. It says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the good and right way. Now, not only that, but God Himself remembered and answered Hannah's prayer. We read these words in verses 19 and 20. Then all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God so that we may not die. For we have added to all our sins this evil by asking for ourselves a king. Samuel said to the people, do not fear. You have committed all this evil, yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Now, I have a question for you, moms, this morning. I have a question for you that are here and for those of you that are listening by the internet. I have a question. Have you put a robe of prayer around your children? Have you clothed them in the garment of prayer and praises? Moms, if I may be so bold as to say, that is your mission in life. It is also your privilege as a parent. If you were to do that, if all of the moms were to do that, what a strike would be made against the forces of evil today. It has been said, give me a generation of committed Christian mothers and I will undertake to change the whole face of society in 12 months. I read that, I thought, whoa, so much truth is in that. Well, in addition to having a practical prayer life, Hannah made a vow that was valuable. Now, if you've ever wondered what a practical prayer was, I'd like to recommend to every mom here, if you would take your pencil and if you would underscore the words of verse 11 in chapter 1. It says, she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. And I'm not saying that you commit your child in this way to the Lord. But what I'm saying is, moms, if you will be that sincere in your prayer life for your children, what a difference it will make. Now, the vow that Hannah made to God regarding Samuel involved both a dedication and a sanctification. I want to stop and look at both of these two words. Let's take a look at his dedication. She said, then I will give him unto the Lord. Folks, this dedication was not the same as a mere Levite whose duties started at the age of 25 and then ended at the age of 50. This was a dedication that was from childhood until the end of life, until that child died. You see, when Samuel was at the age of 3, Hannah took him to Eli. Now, moms, think about it. How old is Michael? He's 3. Yeah. Our Levi is 3. Okay? You know, and as I was studying this for today and I read that, I thought, whoa. That kind of brings it home. Moms, are you that willing to commit your children to the Lord? Well, I'm not advocating that you do that in that way, but spiritually, yes, do that. Commit them to the Lord right now at this age. That is so important. Your children are older than that. They're not too old to be committed to the Lord. You can do it right now. The point is, do it to them. Give them to the Lord. Now, let's think about his sanctification. Verse 11 says, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Notice, Hannah promised that Samuel would be set apart as a Nazarite from birth. This meant that no intoxicating liquor would ever touch his lips, no razor would ever touch his hair, and he would be separated from all ceremonial defilement. One commentary wrote, says, in his infant soul were sown the seeds of holy thoughts. From the dawn of reason, his mind was turned to the Lord, whose gift he was. Now, I don't know. I think I need to point out some of the pictures that we see that are done up in our children's classes when we study Samuel. He's got short hair. Okay. Technically, he's got long hair. Okay. Because the razor never hit his head. Technicality there, as far as the pictures are concerned. The message behind it is what's important to talk to our children. By the way, did you notice in reading the scripture, Hannah did what she promised the Lord? Have you ever made a promise to the Lord? Say, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do such and such. Too many times we don't, do we? We kind of renege on that, okay? She was faithful, and because she was faithful to do that, then God was faithful to her and blessed her. The fulfillment of her promise is found in verses 27 and 28. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. The vow was kept by Hannah. And she made that vow in the temple at the church, and she kept it in the temple at the church. This indeed is a part of the mission of a mother. Every mother worthy of the name of mom must keep those vows that she made to God at marriage and unto the birth of her children. If something has happened and you haven't kept those vows, then let's go back, moms. Go back and renew those vows before the Lord. And what better time to do it than today, on Mother's Day. And finally, Hannah had a spirit that was sacrificial. A sacrificial spirit. From the early moments in the morning until the late hours at night, Hannah was always giving of herself to God and to her son. I think back and I remember many times how my mom would come in and take care of me when I was sick, and she would nurture me and care for me no matter what time it was at night. If I cried out and she heard me, then she was there immediately. It seemed like in a heartbeat, she'd just come right through the walls and she was there. Hannah was faithful to her children day in and day out. Her total life was that of giving and doing. Moms, I see that so much in all of you. I see it in PK in our home, and I see it in you moms here as you take care of your precious children. And that's wonderful. That's good. And I commend you for that. Hannah was completely dedicated and devoted, as evidenced in by these words found in verse 28. And I have lent him to the Lord. Also in verse 19 of chapter 2, she says, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. Every single year, she would bring him a brand new coat. You see, Hannah knew nothing of a 12-hour workday. You moms don't know nothing of a 12-hour workday. Your work is 24/7, and that's the way Hannah's was. She had a ministry of praying and working around the clock. If there's one thing that I have learned that I've picked up on, it's the fact that you moms are like that. There is a poem that says it best, and I love it. I like the poem you read a while ago, Ethel. That was beautiful. I like this one too. Listen to these words. Machines to do the dishes, and one to wash the clothes, another one to dry them. How simply the living goes. And yet there's no one's invented machines that scrub a face, or smooth a fall, or wipe the tears, or take a mother's place. Isn't that beautiful? I like how true that is. The sacrificial spirit of Hannah may well be illustrated by a story that I came across in preparing for this morning. Listen to this story. There lived in the mountains of Georgia a very poor widow with a few acres of ground to work with. She raised berries with her chickens and sold the eggs. She took in washing and did humble work for a living. The mother worked hard to send her son to college. The son graduated from college with high honors and won a gold medal for special excellence in study. At graduation, he invited his mother to see him graduated, but she refused, saying, I have nothing to wear, son, and you would be ashamed of your poor old mother before all those people. Ashamed of you? He said with eyes full of tears. Ashamed of you, mother? Never. I owe everything that I am to you. What is more, I will not graduate unless you come. She finally yielded to his request. When the commencement day exercises came, she went in her plain old dress with her neat but faded shawl and simple mountain bonnet. Her son tried to persuade her to sit where the friends and relatives of the graduates sat, but she refused and insisted on sitting way off under the gallery. The son went to the platform and delivered his graduation address. As he was handed his diploma, he received his medal. Immediately, he left the platform and walked down the aisle straight to where his mother had seated under the gallery. And there amidst the applause of the throng, he pinned the gold medal on her faded shawl and said, "Mother, that belongs to you. You have earned it." I still cry. I read that two or three times. I thought, man, I'm going to try to read it where I won't cry. But I still cry when I get to that last part. How true. The sacrifice that you moms have made for all of your children. What a reward for a mother who had fulfilled her God-given mission. You know, one day you too, Mom, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to receive a reward from the hand of Christ Himself. That's why I encourage you to be faithful to Him, always trusting in Him. Earlier, I made the statement this morning that today would be a good time to recommit your life as a mother to the Lord. I want to give you that opportunity this morning, moms. However, I'm not going to just offer it to the mothers. I'm going to offer it to every single one of us that are here, man, woman, and child that are here today, and to everyone that's listening by the web right now. Everyone who will commit your life to Christ, I ask you, will you commit your life to Christ today? Will you ask the Lord to take your life and consecrate it to His service? As we bring this service to a close, will you do that this morning in your heart, right where you're seated, right where you are? Will you consecrate your life to Christ today and ask Him to be in you all that He desires to be? As we open our hymnals and as we sing our song this morning, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee." Mean that from the depth of your heart.